Wedding march peals out gaily through the abbey. The procession of the bride and bridegrooms moves now down through the 2,000 guests who are standing here, bowing as the procession passes towards the great west door. First, the clergy, the choristers in white surplices, then the canons and the minor canons in all the splendor of their rich gold and stoles, behind the cross of gold of Westminster, glittering as it passes under the organ screen into the full light which is now flooding through the nave, and then a gap, and the bridal pair themselves coming out from the chapel of St. Edward, and as they pass, their majesties, the king and queen, who are now standing to the right of the sanctuary, the bridegroom bows, and Princess Elizabeth drops a very deep curtsy. Now, the bridal pair move right down through the choir, past the diplomats, past, I see, Mr. Churchill and Mr. Attlee standing close to each other and smiling across at bride and bridegroom, under the organ screen, and Elizabeth takes Philip's arm as they come under the organ screen. The bridesmaids walking behind with the two little pages with dignity and pride in every step, taking extremely good care not to walk upon the almost diaphanous veil that's floating behind Princess Elizabeth in the full splendor of that lovely, translucent and glowing satin wedding dress. And still the organ peals forth, and we let the sound of the organ take them down to the great west door. Thank you. Our moment in the Abbey is now almost ended. The splendors and glories of the wedding service here are almost over. Bride and bridegroom passing the tomb of the unknown warrior have now reached the great west door. And the guests bow as the doors are flung open and we catch a glimpse of the light outside and a glimpse too of the welcome that's awaiting the new bridal pair as they step out from this glittering casket at the Abbey into the roar of the popular welcome outside. For a brief moment we see them, Philip now handling Princess Elizabeth, just offering her his hand, and we take you out from the Abbey now, outside, to where the crowd of London is waiting to greet the new royal pair. We are waiting, more breathless than we were, for the arrivals. The noise is surging up now. The anthem is played, and listen as the bride and bridegroom leave the Abbey. Carefully, she steps into the coach. Her long, lovely, shining white train is folded in behind her. The Duke of Edinburgh puts on his cap, standing waiting. All the crowds are on tiptoe now with laughter and smiles on every face. The moment we've waited for so long as we heard the service going on. The bridegroom steps into the glass coach. Cheer after cheer rents the air up and down the great street as the captain's escort stands ready. The door of the coach is closed. The footmen take up their places at the rear. The outriders' horses that have been prancing and bucking, waiting for this moment, impatient it seemed, for the royal couple to come out, are dancing now. The escort holds itself ready, the signal is given. And the journey back to Buckingham Palace past the cheering crowds of people begins as the coach leaves the west door of the Abbey and turns towards Parliament Square.
Here outside Buckingham Palace, the crowd, which was vast enough in all conscience before the wedding, has grown to enormous dimensions in this last hour, and we literally are now at the centre of an absolute sea of faces, and at the moment every single individual of all the hundreds of thousands who must be gathered here in this vast square are rising on their toes, and they're looking down this long avenue of the Mall to see, coming towards us, but still I should say a quarter of a mile distant, that wonderful, that splendid cavalcade of colour. Already we can see the gleam on the helmets and the burnished breastplates of the household cavalry. There they are coming towards us slowly, the whole roadway lined by members of the forces in their battle dress. The colour parties have crossed sides since the procession went out, and now slowly they come towards us at their trot, and we can just hear in the distance the echoes of the cheering of the thousands upon thousands of people who are crammed there in the Mall waiting for this very moment. But this is the moment at which we here see for the first time the bridegroom. We saw the departure of Her Majesty the Queen and Princess Margaret. We saw the departure of the King and of the bride. But up to now, we've not seen His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh. And now he's coming, and he's coming, bringing with him his bride in the glass coach. And here it's a moment of tremendous expectations. There's a thrill of emotion. It's almost something physical that you can feel in this great crowd as they are straining and looking over their shoulders. And their first cheers are going up here around the palace because they're catching sight of the outriders as they come along. And now it's possible to make out the colours of the uniforms. There are the tunics, the red tunics of the lifeguards. And there is the glass coach. There is the red livery. And beyond that, one can see the blues, the blue uniforms, the blue tunics of the blues as they bring up the rear of this captain's escort. And now here comes the cantering of the horses as they swing around into the semicircle here of the Queen Victoria Memorial. And this great crowd is about to give its welcome to their Royal Highnesses, the bride and the bridegroom, to welcome them back to Buckingham Palace, to the home of their parents. This is a wonderful scene. We had occasional glimpses of sun during the morning. It is indeed a day on which the bride may be happy because the sun has shone. And although at the moment it's dull, everybody is extremely happy. The clouds are rather grey overhead, but it's the visibility is perfectly clear. It's a wonderful day to see this grand sight. And now the coach itself is drawing near. It's well within sight. It's drawing near and it's about to swing around here, swing around the Queen Victoria Memorial. And the crowd know it and they're beginning to shout. And we shall hear them as they pass us here and pass into the gateway of Buckingham Palace itself. And now I'm going to leave the crowd to express their welcome themselves.
Here in the Abbey, we're away from the cheers and the tumult and the popular welcome. The music has faded, the last organ note has died away, and the choir boys have gone. The altar, the sanctuary is empty. Only the distant sound of the bells clamoring outside remind us of the pageantries and ceremonies that were going on here not so many minutes ago. But in the crowded nave, the guests are still waiting to go. It's just like after every ordinary wedding, after the climax and excitement, there's that pleasant feeling of relaxing and relaxing of tension, and people stop and gossip and smile, and there Mr. Attlee and Mr. Bevin are talking to each other, and Mr. and Mrs. Churchill are chatting away, and Mr. Eden is waiting in his place to move, and the clergy have moved away now to the aisle, and the colour is starting to ebb away. The colour that was one of the most tremendous and exciting things and unexpected things too about the wedding, the colour is starting to ebb away and the Abbey is returning to its normal dignified greyness. But we're going to have very many memories of this wedding. And the first one, I'm absolutely certain, is of the colour and pageantry of it all. In these days of austerity, I think that was something we didn't expect. We've forgotten that in the traditional costumes, the traditional uniforms and church vestments of England, we possess a really rich treasure of colour and excitement and pageantry. And by the simple wearing of uniform and vestment and cope and mitre and lawn and lace, the clergy and the soldiers and the guests produced for the princess in austerity days a real bridal feast of colour. And that was a heartwarming thing from the very first moment when the entry of the yeomen of the guard into the nave to take up their positions along the grey walls of the abbey. When as soon as that came, we knew that the wedding inside the abbey was going to have all its traditional glories. And I remember looking towards that west door for the moment when we first saw the princess in that magnificent glowing ivory satin wedding dress come in on the arms of His Majesty the King. And the way the bridesmaids fell in very quietly and dignifiedly behind her, and the two little page boys, the two little princes, Prince Michael and Prince George, wearing tartan colored kilts, they followed with real all the gravity of five-year-olds up through the nave until they got as far as the steps of the sanctuary. And there, at the sanctuary steps, lifting the bridal train was just a little too much for them when the royal pair moved forward to the altar. And so I remember the Marquess of Milford Haven just stepping forward and helping them, and little Prince William especially, helping them just to lift the train over the steps. Then I think we're going to remember the dignity of the ceremonial at the sanctuary and at the high altar, the noble address of the Archbishop of York, and the way that the whole ceremony went without a single hitch. And so too I shall remember the royal guest sitting in the sanctuary, and Her Majesty the Queen smiling across at Princess Elizabeth as they went, followed them in to sign the register in St. Edward's Chapel. And above St. Edward's Chapel, the trumpeters sitting, waiting to sound the fanfare. Those fanfares, too, would be a splendid memory. They did symbolize fully the pageantry and color of the occasion. And there they were, the trumpeters, sitting on the top of Henry V's chantry in a gallery all to themselves, and above them, a little bit of history, the great helmet and sword of Henry V, there hanging as a reminder of all the past and future glories of England. Then back again to the little human memories. After the signing of the register, there came the bridal procession, the procession of the bride and bridegroom, when they came down, man and wife, for the first time down the aisle together, down the nave together. And I watched very particularly as they came out after signing the registry from into the sanctuary. Their Majesties the King and Queen, after signing the register, had gone out and stood to the left of the sanctuary. Then there was a slight pause. First of all, the procession of the clergy with the Dean of Westminster ahead and the Cross of Westminster went down, moving down into the nave. And then this little simple procession, just the beadle leading the married pair and the Duke of Edinburgh and Princess Elizabeth. And as they came opposite Her Majesty the Queen and opposite the King, Philip drew himself up, just a little squared his shoulders and bowed, and Princess Elizabeth dropped a beautiful low curtsy, and her train, wedding train, went billowing out behind in a great lovely flow of satin and silk. And then down and up from the steps of the sanctuary through the choir and out into the floodlit splendors of the nave. For television and photography, great lamps had been hanging in the nave of Westminster Abbey. And as the bridal pair came down out through the organ screen, these lights were turned on with dramatic glittering effect. And for the first time, you really caught the splendor and color of those uniforms. And as the lights came on, Princess Elizabeth just gave her hand to Philip, and together, with the princess's hand just touching her bridegroom's, they moved down through the bowing line of guests, around past the tomb of the unknown warrior. And then for a brief moment, we had a last glimpse of them, just silhouetted against the great west door. There was a little pause for the putting on of the wraps and the adjustment of the wedding train. And then the couple went out past the bowing Dean of Westminster to that tremendous popular excitement and welcome you just heard. And now we remain with our memories in the Abbey. The guests, one by one, are departing, and we look back now to the last bit of colour as the lights go out one by one too, to the last bit of colour left in the sanctuary. The candles burning in front of the high altar and still glowing with the gold splendour of the Abbey plate and the great masses of flowers grouped on side of it. And we who are privileged to be here looking down on it are going to remember for a very long time to come the splendor, dignity, and indeed the charm of this royal wedding. Now, there will be other memories that we would like to share with you, memories of the popular welcome that's going to wait the young couple when they come out on the balcony of Buckingham Palace. And while we and the guests leave the darkening abbey, we take you back now to Frank Gillard outside Buckingham Palace.
The last of the cars, the last of the wedding cars, has just passed into the quadrangle, and the great crowd is here, all keyed up, tense and ready for the appearance of their majesties, and particularly, of course, today, the appearance with their majesties of the bride and bridegroom on the balcony. But there is no immediate sign of their appearance. I shall be remaining here on the Victoria Memorial, and when they do come out, as we feel sure they will, within the next few minutes, we hope to bring home listeners back here to the palace for a description of the scene. And so this vast, enthusiastic crowd around the palace on this royal wedding day, and all the crowds in the streets of London, thrilling with emotion, have expressed in fullest terms the love and the good wishes of the entire British Commonwealth to Elizabeth and Philip, their Royal Highnesses, the bride and bridegroom. And we, every one of us, echo those feelings in our hearts with deepest sincerity as we wish the newly married couple all joy and all good fortune in their married life together. May they both enjoy long life and supreme happiness. And here is the moment for which we've now been waiting for some time. About one minute ago, the doors opened and out stepped Her Royal Highness the Bride with the Duke of Edinburgh at her side. They stood there alone on the balcony, receiving a tremendous ovation from the crowd. Listen to them now, listen to the crowd as they cheer. And then very quickly behind them came their Majesties the King and the Queen. The King stepped to the side of Princess Elizabeth, and the Queen to the side of her new son-in-law, and then Queen Mary and Princess Andrew, and soon we had the whole family group there before us, and there they are, waving and cheering to the crowd. The Duke of Edinburgh at the moment waving his hand in the air, the Queen is turning to speak to him, now the bride herself is waving and cheering. This is the picture of the day that we shall all remember. This is the one that millions will cut out from the papers and from the illustrated magazines and treasure for years to come. For here is the family group. Here's the royal family standing in a group, just as any family in the land might stand on the day of a daughter's wedding. The King and Queen are bound to experience today some of those feelings which every father and mother feel when a dearly loved daughter leaves home to marry. And yet they're showing, as this great crowd here shows, that they rejoice with the princess in her happiness. And now listen again to the cheers. And now once again, it's the bride and the bridegroom left there on the balcony, waving to the crowd, waving their hands high in the air and receiving a tremendous reception, a great ovation from this delighted multitude. Now the escort is moving out of the quadrangle into position here, just outside the forecourt of Buckingham Palace. And we're hoping, yes, here come the royal pair, here come the newly married couple, travelling, we hope, not quite in the dusk, it's difficult to see. Yes, they're travelling in an open landau to the station, drawn by four Windsor Greys, who are slightly nervous at the flash of photographs. And here they come, listen to the crowds acclaiming them. Here they go on their way to their honeymoon. Here they are. Wonderful send-off. The bride in a coat and dress of love in the mist blue, the coat in velour cloth slightly flared, I'm told, and with the new mid-calf length, and wearing a high bonnet beret in the same colour blue with two quill feathers. There they go, the bride and bridegroom down the mall, and out of the gateway of Buckingham Palace come running the bridesmaids to see them off, and there's much cheering and waving by all the crowds who are still gathered there in the mall. There goes once again that wonderful spectacle in the late evening light. There they go, off on their honeymoon, receiving once again the cheers and the congratulations of the people of this great city. And with them go our very best wishes too for their future happiness in their married life together.